Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. We are out of the 49ers recap. We're in full Vikings preview mode. We got into full Vikings preview mode about halfway through our recap show, but we're going to go more into that. We're going to go more into Seahawks injury updates, players coming back to the team. It's going to be a great show. So before we get into all of that, do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I co-host the Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. Spike is a writer with The Stranger. And, you know, even before we get into the show, I'll just tease you guys. If you want a question answered on the show, make sure you go to Apple Podcasts and leave your question in a 5, 4, or 2-star review. You know, we're trying to be different, but no, obviously 5-star reviews are appreciated. We'll answer your question. You can make it about pretty much everything. I don't know if there's
no limits.
Okay, so Spike is all
no
in.
no time to limits, as Russell Wilson would tweet.
And you know, I don't know if there's a character limit on these Apple Podcast reviews, but you can make your question as long or short as you want, I guess. So
I guess, but if, shorter is better.
I don't know. If you want to troll us, then you know, I guess that's a good way to do it. Who knows? But yeah, go ahead, leave reviews and leave question in those reviews in Apple Podcasts. It's always appreciated, and it's a fun way to kind of spice up the show. So now that we've said that, We got some updates on the Seahawks. I think most notably is the offensive line situation at right guard. DJ Fluker has what Pete Carroll is calling a pretty significant hamstring pull. And Jordan Simmons is probably going to step into that starting role, who didn't really have a notable game, which is, I think, a good thing when he stepped in for Fluker when he got hurt last time. But Ethan Posick, it's kind of troubling seeing his kind of ascension through the Seahawks offensive line ranks and then quick fall as quick as he rose through the offensive line. So, Spike, you know, what is your read on this offensive line situation at right guard trying to fill in for DJ Fluker?
Yeah, so someone asked in the presser this week about Ethan Posick and whether he was in the competition for that right guard spot, and Pete Carroll like put his head down and said always, and then just moved on. And it was, again, doing a little bit of Carrollology, you know, the deep study of Pete Carroll's obfuscations and like hiding in plain sight answers to journalistic questions. It was a scary answer. It really felt like Pete is fundamentally disappointed in Ethan Posick's development, what Ethan Posick is bringing to the table, and Ethan Posick's potential to contribute to the Seahawks this year, and honestly, potentially in the future. I've seen him talk about CJ Procise injuries, and we'll get to that with more joy in his heart. Then he talked about the potential of Ethan Posick filling in for an injured DJ Fluker. So that is not great. But, okay, so what do we have on our hands? We've got Simmons, and he's looked pretty good. When he came into the game, Russell Wilson got hit a couple times on Sunday. It didn't look like those were on Jordan Simmons, though. It looked like maybe, and I mean, the offensive line is a five-man organism. So one person changing obviously changes the whole composition of how they're playing. It looked like J.R. Sweezy got beat one-on-one a couple times once Simmons came in. It is possible that Britt had to shade over to the right rather than the left, which left Sweezy with disadvantageous matchups. Maybe Saleh was overloading the 49ers defensive coordinator on that side of the ball. I haven't watched the All-22 on those snaps yet, so I can't say for sure, but it looked like Sweezy was the one getting beat on those plays rather than Simmons. So I'm not panicked about Simmons per se. Obviously, a couple caveats with that. One, the Vikings are a really tough matchup up front. Sheldon Richardson is absolutely bawling out of his mind, so that's not great. We've seen what it is when Sheldon Richardson's playing really well. It's dangerous, and he will likely be the beneficiary of DJ Fluker's absence for 1 week at least. The other part of it is, honestly, the Fluker injury news could have been a lot worse. You know, John Clayton reported that he was in tears leaving the field which made me think that it was going to be a full hamstring tear that had him out for the year. And that they're saying it's a grade one strain that'll be back in a few weeks. That, you know, the Seahawks team is currently 90% to make the playoffs. If they win two games, they are 99% to make the playoffs after Washington's loss last night. And they have two games against very bad game against the Chiefs, who are a very good team that they match up very well with. They have a game against Minnesota, who is a less good team that they don't match up so well with. So they just got to find two wins. And then Fluker will be back for the playoffs based on the prognosis that Pete gave. If you asked me when I heard that DJ Fluker went off the field in tears with a hamstring injury, if it was a 3 to 4 week injury rather than a 2 to 4 month injury, I would have put my money on the latter. So I'm actually pretty pleased right now with this injury prognosis. Obviously, if you're DJ Fluker, you're in a lot of pain today. So, you know, there's that aspect of it. But, you know, it could be a lot worse based on what we've seen out of Simmons and based on the prognosis for Fluker's return.
Yeah, and I think even DJ Fluker is happy that, you know, it's not that long-term injury. And
especially DJ Fluker's.
Yeah, yeah. No, you briefly touched on that aspect, and so I just had to put a bow on it. But, yeah, hopefully, you know, if the Seahawks do make the playoffs, he'll be at 100%, which is likely the scenario, I mean, going forward through this part of the season.
And hamstrings have the tendency to recur. It's not exactly. There's no good news here, but it could have been a lot worse. The bad news is, weirdly, we spent a second rounder on some guy that Tom Cable thought was good in Ethan Posick, and he can't even get on the field when his spot opens up. You know, this was supposed to be his spot this year. Fluker had to come for him. And now, man, I don't even know where Posick fits into this team's plans.
Yeah, just an extreme reserve position. The Seahawks have been kind of spotty drafting in the second round. I mean, Bobby Wagner, obviously, second round pick. And I'm sure, and Frank Clark, but there's been some spottiness in the second round.
For every Golden Tate or Bobby Wagner, there's a Malik McDowell or Ethan Posick. Although it feels weird to put Ethan Posick into that category already, but man, that's sort of where we are. Second rounders, though, I mean, that's your odds with them, is they're sort of coin flips.
Yeah,
I feel like we've done a little better given the odds in the second round than we have in the first, where you're supposed to just sort of hit every time. I mean, obviously that isn't how it works, but oof, yeah, no. It would be better if Ethan Posick was good.
Yeah, no, but as quickly as we kind of crowned him as the next upcoming actual good offensive lineman for the Seahawks, we're kind of writing him off as quick. So, no, who knows? It's been a roller coaster ride on the Ethan Posick experience, so who knows what comes next. But I think now is a good time to take a quick break. We'll come right back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network, so stay tuned. Guys, you know it's cold outside, and you know, you generally want to be warm, and you know, this episode is sponsored by Action Heat, who will keep you warm. They make the world's best battery-heated clothing. It's heat on demand at a touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heating via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. They're like the idea that we had of Ethan Posick. You know, he was supposed to be that, you know, kind of do-it-all offensive lineman, and he's not, but Action Heat is that do-it-all heated clothing. It's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody loves being outdoors or hates being cold. So, you know, Action Heat is presenting you with a special deal. To save 20% off your entire order, just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON to save 20% at checkout. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And we are back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. I'm going to give you another reminder. Leave your questions in an iTunes review, Apple Podcast review, and we will answer them on the show. And I guess we can start this segment off with another update for the Seahawks. And it's going to be at the linebacker position. Michael Kendricks is widely known that he has been with the team practicing, and this was the week that he was going to be eligible to return to the active roster. And Pete Carroll, I mean, he said that Michael Kendricks is going to be available for a normal workload, which is definitely a great thing, especially against the Minnesota Vikings, where they need that kind of do-it-all kind of linebacker. So it's going to be great that he's not on a snap count.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at what Austin Kolitar did this last week. He played really well, but there still were some misses in the run game. There still were just a lot of explosives from the 49ers. And the hope is those guys at the second level can, throttle down those explosives coming from the other side. Hopefully Kendricks can do that. Kendricks, obviously, he can blitz. He can really do it all. He's a very, very good player. He was one of the most important players on that Philadelphia defense last year. I mean, it's such a weird boon for this team. When we got Kendricks, it felt like a weird flyer. It was like, I much prefer a signing like this to something like what Washington did with Reuben Foster. If you're going to rehab a guy, rehab a white-collar criminal, not someone who is a serial abuser in their personal life. Like, obviously. But it felt like when we made the signing, the Seahawks team was on life support, and it felt like sort of a Hail Mary. Now it feels like, wow, what a crucial addition, and what an amazing, excellent player to be able to slot into this defense that's been struggling a little bit. So I'm very excited. The other side of this news is that KJ Wright will not be playing this week. Still going to be in. He is not running at full speed yet, which isn't good. He's going to need at least another week or two to get his fitness back. Apparently the pain is subsiding in his knee, but he's not ready yet. I mean, but if you can throw out a linebacking trio of Kendricks, Wagner, and Wright when the playoffs come around, and then have Barkevious Mingo in there on pass rushing downs, as a Swiss Army option. What a great linebacking core. Arguably, at that point, the best linebacking core in football. And we've talked about how the Seahawks team doesn't really have an elite unit. Well, a healthy Seahawks linebacking core is an elite unit. Now, not the ideal elite unit, obviously, in today's NFL. You kind of want your pass rush to be your best unit, or maybe your pass catching group. But hey, I'll take this 10 times out of 10. This is pretty cool, and I'm pretty excited to watch Kendricks play at full speed.
Yeah, definitely. And it's arguably the best linebacking core that they've had throughout this run that they've had through the playoffs. Wow. And the Super Bowl.
Shots fired at Bruce Irvin.
Hey, pew, pew, pew. I mean, when you look at the versatility, no, but I think
you make a good point. I mean, Irvin is sort of a better version of Mingo. Kendricks is a better player than that. Kendricks is really, really good. And we haven't gotten to really see it yet. We saw him be effective in the limited snaps that he's had. And hopefully he's back at full speed. I mean, wow. Also, when does he get sentenced? Would he be able to play in the Super Bowl when the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl?
I have no clue, but I like what you're thinking.
We will research that. My other question, and this is a real question, but it's not a real question, is for real, Earl Thomas, theoretically would be healthy for the Super Bowl? And, when he got hurt, it was that's a joke. And now I'm kind of wait, what if Earl Thomas is healthy for the Super Bowl? Now, mind you, I realize I'm losing my mind. The Seahawks have no wins over great teams, and they'd have to win two or three of those games to make the Super Bowl. I know that I'm, kind of being facetious, but at the same time, it's not insane to think that this team beats the Rams. The Saints laid an egg against Dallas. Who knows what they're going to – it's possible. They have a 2% chance based on all the metrics I'm reading, so –
I read Seahawks 40-1 odds to win the Super Bowl.
40-1? I mean, that's not nothing.
It's not nothing. And you know, I think Earl Thomas got injured at the time, where it gives us this weird sliver of hope. And it's gonna be painful when A, he doesn't come back in time, or B, the Seahawks don't make it to the Super Bowl. But that's not how we're thinking.
I'm guessing both of those happened, but I do want, I assume Bob Condotta listens to this podcast. He definitely doesn't. But Bob, if you're out there, ask Pete whether Earl will be ready for the Super Bowl. Ask him this week.
Yeah,
Do it.
because
Tell him to be a hero.
he was asked whether he'd be back for the playoffs, but it wasn't specific enough. So we need that.
Wait, he was asked that this week?
No, he was asked that
Oh, no,
a
yeah,
couple
back when
weeks
the
ago.
injury happened. No, I'm saying right now. Now is the time as the Seahawks have, like, because, like, back then he could be like, well, we can't even talk about that yet. Now we can talk about it. It's like a month away. You know, like, it's time to talk. God, Pete, tell us the truth. Tell the truth Tuesday.
No, I mean, it's either Pete tells the truth, or we start to think of conspiracy theories about the real
Oh,
truth. But
yeah.
I have some news. Michael Kendricks'
Oh.
sentencing is January 24th.
Oh, what?
So, yeah, I don't know if it'll be pushed back a second time, but that's what
I
I'm
get it.
reading right
Pushed
now.
back. Petition the courts to get Michael Kendricks' sentencing pushed back in case the Seahawks make the Super Bowl.
I think a precedent has been set that sports has really been treated more importantly than some other activity off the field. So, you know, this wouldn't be the first time that, you know, it's taken a better seat than morality. But I digress.
I thought you were gonna say, I thought you were gonna say the president has been said to give some sketchy pardons, so might as well just straight up pardon him. Why not? Pardon Michael Kendricks.
Hashtag pardon Michael Kendricks. Leave pardon Michael Kendricks in an Apple Podcast review. You will get shouted out on the show. But yeah, before we get too crazy and too deep into this rabbit hole, we'll take a quick break, gather ourselves, and come back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, and we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. You can reach us on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman, and the show's Twitter is at Locked Seahawks. If you have any thoughts concerning the show or about life in general, we will do our best to answer them. So, Spike, we've talked a lot about, you know, the Fluker situation. We've talked a lot about the Kendrick situation, even Earl Thomas situation, but we've left out one such important player. He's having surgery on his abdominal region. It's CJ Procise. And
Yeah.
I mean, this is where we've gotten on the CJ Procise kind of deal, because you know, he's went from one of the more dynamic players on the Seahawks offense and full of potential to us kind of wrapping up a show kind of just like, oh yeah, well, CJ Procise is having surgery, like that really doesn't mean anything for the team. Like it's kind of been sad to see his demise on the show, on the team, on Seahawks Twitter. And it's kind of went from, you know, this darling player almost because of his potential to kind of this afterthought.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do? It sucks. Football's a really brutal sport, and Procise, you know, he was a receiver, and he just didn't have the body to hold up to being a running back, and that's too bad. You know, I mean, J.D. McKissic is back. He's going to get snaps. C.J. Procise did get one carry this season. It's a carry I'll never forget. I've already forgotten what game it was in. I remember when it happened, though. I thought to myself, huh, look at that. C.J. Procise getting a carry. Interesting. You know, the more important running back news is obviously that Chris Carson's dislocated finger is something he will be able to play through, and he will not have a cast on his hand. He will likely just have a splint, which means that it shouldn't pose any major issues on ball security, which has been an issue for Carson of late. So hopefully we see Chris Carson at full strength. Chris Carson, I believe, is PFF's either top or second graded runner this past week. So what we saw with our eyes was backed up with the stats. Chris Carson is playing out of his mind right now. He's playing incredibly, incredibly well. He's running really physically in a way that just no one else on this team can do. So not losing him is absolutely crucial, especially if the offensive line is in flux, because he's the guy who can get those yards after contact. If the offensive line is 100%, Rashad Penny is an excellent option to go in there and, you know, just hit those holes hard and use his speed and his, like, straight-ahead quickness to just explode for some big plays. We've seen that. But if you're going to ask me who is going to do well with who's going to be able to do well with this particular situation, I got to say it's Chris Carson. So, you know, a lot of respect for Chris Carson being healthy, less respect for CJ Procise being healthy. I don't know, man.
It's the situation where Chris Carson is probably the only Seahawks running back that's going to run through tacklers. You know, Rashad Penny is more likely to run through arm tackles and use his quickness to get around tacklers. And Mike Davis is a little more like Penny in that respect, too. McKissick, obviously, is the receiver out of the bunch. But, yeah, fully agree. Carson's one of the most important players on the Seahawks offense. And he allows the offense to be what it has been. And since we talked about grades, I want to shift the conversation to the defense a little bit. Talk about Bobby Wagner a little more.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because, I mean, I don't think enough. I mean, a lot of people talked about how great he was on Sunday, but I still don't think it was enough. And PFF, you know, whether you agree with the grades or not, you know, they have a lot of great info, but he was graded a 96.6, his highest grade of the season. He was graded elite with elite grades in run defense, tackling, pass rushing, and coverage. And Pro Football Focus says no other linebacker has elite grades in more than one category. What is Bobby Wagner?
He's an alien. That's the thing, is like, he's just the best at everything. It's crazy. And he's been that good for a while now. And at a certain point, you're not talking about whether he's a Hall of Famer. You're talking about that he is a Hall of Famer. And this season, I think, is when he ticks over that line for me. You know, like, I don't think there's any question. And I honestly think at this point, is he the most clear-cut of all the Legion of Boom era Seahawks defenders to make the Hall of Fame? Probably still Richard Sherman. Cornerbacks always get in. Sherman was the best in the league for a little while. But, I mean, this is probably going to be Bobby Wagner's fourth first-team All-Pro. Four first-team All-Pros in middle linebacker. That doesn't just, like, get you into the Hall of Fame. That gets you, like, documentaries made about your greatness. Like, and I feel like Bobby Wagner is somehow still underrated nationally.
Oh, definitely. I was going to say he's probably one of the most underrated Seahawks of all time, just because he kind of – I mean, I wouldn't say he totally flew under the radar during the Legion of Boom era, but, I mean, his greatness wasn't, you know, talked about as much as the secondary. I mean, the secondary was fantastic and should have been talked about, but, you know, Bobby Wagner – deserves all the coverage in the world. I think that what he's doing right now in Seattle, it's unprecedented for a Seahawks linebacker. It's unprecedented for a lot of, you know, defenders in the league, you know, all time. So, you know, I think, you know, when it comes down to it, when it's all said and done, Bobby Wagner doesn't have a chance to only be a Hall of Famer, but maybe be one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some of those guys at linebacker, like, I don't know, Dick Butkus.
Like Bobby Wagner.
I mean, absolutely. I wonder. I mean, it's that thing of, like, for so long, there were so many great players on this defense that it was tough to put anybody at the top of the conversation in that way. It's not true anymore. This defense is fine, and Bobby Wagner is the glue that holds it together, playing at a level that is unparalleled, as, you know, and I think the other part of this is the mirror battle between him and Luke Kuechly is over. Bobby Wagner has won. There is no more conversation about who the best middle linebacker in the league is. It is Bobby Wagner. It's not Luke Kuechly. So kudos to Bobby Wagner for defeating his arch rival Luke Kuechly in the moral battle that is who's the best linebacker.
Right, and so I think we can end it on rest in peace to CJ Procise's career with the Seahawks, I think. I think it's safe to say at this point.
Probably.
Rest in peace to the Lou Kuechly versus Bobby Wagner discussion. You will not be missed. So I think that does it for today's show. We want to thank you guys for listening. As always, we appreciate whenever you guys tune in. Subscribe if you haven't already. We appreciate any subscriptions. Leave 5-star reviews, 5-star ratings. Leave questions in your reviews on Apple Podcasts. We're on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher. Now, wherever you listen, you'll probably find us. So make sure you are tuning in. And if you've gotten to this point already, thank you for already having tuned in. So, Spike, did I forget anything?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Oh, my gosh. Spike. All right. So, you know, now that I can sign off. I'll sign off for the both of us, since you might not be listening to...
listening, Grant. So, I don't know. Yeah, you said it all, baby.
You know what? I know I said it all, but I just want to give you the opportunity. Give you your sign that Bobby Wagner maybe didn't get during the Legion of Boom era. So, for the Locked on Seahawks podcast and how great Bobby Wagner is, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.